just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, an English Premier League podcast hosted by four Americans. Two of them are trolls. One here is Shay, and you got me, Chris. You got Jacob Miles being the trolls.
Come on, Fulham.
congrats to Fulham for advancing to the championship playoff. Friendly club of the pod. But, guys, we got a ton to talk about this week. A ton. I mean, last weekend of the season, all 10 matches played at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Shay looking at me like he didn't watch any of the games.
You said troll, and I'm looking at your hair right now. You kind of look like one.
Okay, well, you know, you might be right. But big week, guys. We have Cass Anderson, senior editor of Bro Babylon, Spurs fan, on later in the show, so keep that in mind. But, guys, I honestly, why do the listeners need to listen to us beyond this week? I mean, the season's over. Should they just shut it down?
Yes.
Guys, this is our pop champagne episode.
Is it? Miles, are you a City fan? I'm really confused by that, actually.
Does anyone know what he's talking about?
League is over, man. This is when we get to relax, kick back.
Well, look, for the listeners who don't want to listen to this show, you can listen to my show featuring Miles every week.
Yeah,
it's called
spin-off.
The I
That's
Hate
right.
Jacob and Chris Show.
Yeah, it's third season in a row now.
It's going strong.
Why listen? FA Cup.
Yeah.
Champions League. Europa League final this Wednesday.
World Cup.
Championship final.
Chelsea, Manchester United bets. Yeah. You know, someone may be getting a tattoo coming up soon.
Yeah, well, true. We're going to cover that.
We'll cover that. Before we even jump into any of the Premier League stuff, last week, for the first time, we put it out to the listeners. We said, hey, if you want to roast us real quick and you want to, you know, drop five stars and roast us, we'll read it on the show. So we've got a few, and I wanted to read it to everybody, get some live reactions. So the first one we're going to start with was one directed at me, it seems.
Who's it
From House Hagen. Oops, it would have been better if the whole episode was uploaded. Yes, House Hagen, that's true. I did upload like 3/4 of the episode on accident.
Damn,
and within 10 minutes, I changed it. I mean, it typically happens.
That's good that he caught that.
Within 10 minutes, he wrote. House Hagen, however you identify, you are quick on the draw. Next one from Relegated Nick. Really, Miles, 5 stars, saying Miles picking Tottenham to win the league is like picking a Shetland pony to win the Kentucky Derby.
Ooh,
I said Derby.
I feel like that was a little harsh, but I like the 5 stars though.
Miles, I would never feel so insulted if I was you. Right,
Miles,
now.
This is your pop champagne because you're not going to be on again.
I don't know. Pop, I feel a little insulted. I mean, come on, Jacob, you backed me up with the Tottenham pick though.
No,
man.
I said it was possible. Picked Chelsea.
I hope you don't back Miles up with anything.
I'm not
going
to.
Chris, find it in the record, man. It's there. I know. I felt like a little vindicated that Jacob had my back.
Fair enough.
I didn't have your back.
Anyway, let's continue. Chris has got it. Let's continue, please.
Last one from Spurs fan 92. Why does Shay love every club? Get some balls and commit already.
Jesus.
I mean, he's not even a Man U fan.
Damn.
I feel like my soul.
This was just Chris undercover.
Well, listeners, I remain unscathed.
Look,
and so
I'm coming for you.
if you come at the champ, you better not miss. That's
all I know is this. If you're a fan listening, you want to join in, because clearly there's a lot to talk about from the people who have already made reviews. Get on iTunes, make a review. Even if you don't have, an iPhone or whatever, find a way. Google how to review. How to review a correspondent on iTunes. You'll figure it out. 5 stars, though. It's got to be 5 stars. We're going to read on air.
I'm a little hurt by that last comment. Oh, that's right.
Well, as Shania Twain said, let's give him something to talk about, boys.
Wow. all right. Cue the Shania Twain music. Guys, next up on the docket, we have to talk about the Across the Pond Prediction League. We have had the Prediction League open all year. People have been predicting every match this year, and we have a winner, guys. It's official. The winner has won by 1 point. After 380 matches predicted.
Damn.
The winner is
Miles Johnson?
Hattrick.
Ooh,
Hattrick
with
196 points.
Wow.
Urkel had been leading for about 20 points. So, again, if you want to join us in next year's Prediction League, email us at info@acrossthepond.co and we'll add you to the list.
Can we read the top four, please?
Can we get a call out for Hattrick, or did we just get Hattrick?
Hattrick, well, I mean, I don't want to reveal his...
Okay,
well, I will tell you now, I am Hattrick. The surprise.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. 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 This guy over here, Kaiser Sose. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
We actually wanted to get Hattrick on the show, but Hattrick, however you identify, you did not respond to our email, so we will reach back out. You want a free jersey next year? The winner will win a free jersey. But a winner with 196 points, Urkel in second with 195. Wow. Miles third. You got third, yeah. Miles, with 190.
Tottenham Award.
The Tottenham. The Spurs Award. You belong.
Miles, you're my winner.
And Roger Disco Eagle with 189.
That's my old boss, by the way. If you're listening, Matt Sova, if you're listening, he's headed out to Nepal. So if you're listening, maybe better luck next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, thanks to everybody who joined. It was fun. For the record, I got to do a self-fry here. I finished with 172, 2 points behind Shea.
It doesn't matter if it's two or five or 20. No, last place.
You finished behind Shea?
You were last place.
2 points behind.
Were the last. How far was I behind Miles?
It doesn't matter.
Jacob finished with 183.
So how much?
So you were 7 back on Miles.
I was 1 week behind Miles. You finished worse than Shea, Chris.
Well,
that's embarrassing.
Yeah, the problem. I mean, I'll tell you why. The problem
is like 5 weeks, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Miles. Yeah.
Well, the problem was I miss weeks myself, even though I'm the one who updates all the picks every week. So pretty pathetic. But again, guys, if you want to join, email us at info@acrossthepond.com. We'll add you to the list next year to get a chance to win a free Premier League jersey of your choice. No retros, though. We're not doing retros. We're not doing full kit wankers. We're doing just top
kits.
We're
doing that knockoff jersey. Right?
We're not buying you the socks. We're not buying you the shorts. And, you know, like, we're not doing the full warm-ups. It's not.
I can imagine. I don't know who Hattrick is, but I can imagine them coming to the field. They have the shorts on with the socks and the jersey.
Hattrick, I hope you're not expecting a full kit.
Please,
guys, next up, we actually got to talk about the league. It's over. Man City winning with 100 points. It's pretty damn impressive, guys. 32 wins, 4 draws, 2 losses, most goals ever scored. They broke almost every record this year. So congrats to Man City and those fans who probably started following 2 years ago. But congrats to you all.
Shots fired.
Any thoughts on this season? I mean, Centurions... You know, is this team better than the Invincibles?
Yes.
Yes.
I agree, too.
It is.
Yeah. Miles?
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to get a lot of flack from Arsenal fans, but here's why I think. They're just way better. Different era. Plain and simple. I mean, it's like, I thought I was going to say something profound, but yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Look, one of the most telling things about this season, and you got to talk about Manchester United just to realize how good Man City were, is Manchester United this season finished with more points than they did in the year that they won the treble. That's incredible. In a lot of years, this would have been enough to win the Premier League outright, but Man City were just so much better.
When we reflect
on this league, we have to realize this thing was done and dusted by January.
You look at the two teams.
Before that. I mean, we were holding out hope that Tottenham or Liverpool made a run, that they might catch up.
Yeah.
But Man City were so consistent. In fact, so consistent they won 50 points away from home and 50 points at home. That would be enough to what? Have them at like 10th in the table or like 9th in the top half, even if they did nothing else all season. That's how incredible it was.
You guys remember the two losses they had this year? Anybody remember off the top of their head?
Liverpool and Man United.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
I mean,
and they were one goal losses. So, I mean,
that's already impressive. Like, even if you weren't undefeated, you lost two games to, you know, the one manager that has your foil, and to the one team that was able to beat you.
What is that, three times?
I got your foil, bro.
Are you confusing?
He's got his foil, man. Come on, man. Mourinho is the anti Guardiola.
That sounds like a shame.
Yeah,
I have your pocket. I have your number. I've never heard, I am your foil. I've never heard, I have your foil.
I am your foil. Well, I think that's what Mourinho says.
He said what he means to say is
Guardiola's hand at the end of the game.
I got your Tupperware.
I got your Tupperware. Okay. All right.
Anyway, sorry, that must be a South American thing.
I like it.
Okay, but you guys know what I'm talking about.
We know.
It's still
we do.
Impressive. Like, there's only two teams you lose to. When, think about it, like, you know, many of the people that doubted Guardiola before, coming in, buying players, like City still had big name players, a lot of money before, and were still incredibly inconsistent. You know, beasting out teams, then losing to some, you know, terrible team like West Brom.
Yeah, they were. I mean, look at who they bought in the summer. They bought Ederson, they bought Danilo, they bought Mendy, they bought Bernardo Silva. none of those players.
Bendy, who was out all season.
Yeah, none of those players except for Ederson.
Walker, don't forget Walker.
Yeah, fine. None of those players except for Ederson and Walker really contributed to that title in the most significant of ways. That team, honestly, even if they had just signed a keeper and nothing else, I'm convinced Guardiola, it was so good this year that they would have been able to win hands down. They spent a ton of money, but not a lot of that money actually had huge implications on the field.
We did our due diligence. We gave City their talk on the show. I think it's important to cover them. But, guys, we got to talk about some other things, too. You know, Wenger's gone. Wenger's actually out. Wenger out. Hashtag officially.
Hashtag reality,
So that happened.
Yo, it was sad looking at those videos of, like, him, like, walking away from the last training session. But, that's pretty sad.
But he didn't retire.
Correct.
So he may end up.
That's true.
That's true. He stepped down.
He's one
as
of the many eligible managers.
For next French national team manager?
PSG, French national team.
Anywhere in the Premier League? I don't know. I'm
trying to
think.
Anywhere in the Premier League? He could go to Tottenham if Pochettino leaves.
he's not.
Hey.
Plot twist. Plot twist.
Yeah, put your money down.
I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but it's officially the worst hair I've seen in the Premier League. Like,
Wenger?
Ever. No, Dwight Gale's man ball.
Where did that come
from?
It's
not a man ball.
Yeah, where did
that
come from?
That was the most random segment.
Totally right field.
What?
But did you guys catch that? He's got this little,
I mean,
ping pong ball on top of his head. It's astonishing.
All right. I mean, it's a good segue to
highlight of the last day of the season.
Random,
what do you want me to say?
I like it. We also got Dwight Gale's hair.
wait. Before we go,
love our hair.
Chris, before you move us on from Wenger, thoughts? Do we think he'll be in the Premier League next year?
No, absolutely not.
No, he won't.
No. Why would he do that to Arsenal?
That's too traumatizing. He won't be in the Premier League.
That's like literally like hooking up with like your ex's roommate, like while she's still living there.
What you know about that, Chris?
Like, or while she's still living there.
What you know about that,
I'm just
Chris?
Saying, like, you. This is not a road you want to go down.
I think he'll be back. True. I think he will be back managing again.
Jay's thinking about it, apparently. I don't know.
crazier things have happened.
He'll be back somewhere managing before the end of next season in Europe. He'll be managing again.
Interesting.
I just think he just can't get away from it. He'll take a break at the beginning. Someone's going to come a knocking, and he'll step in.
Yeah.
Okay, I really do want to move on, but honestly, what do you think he's going to do in his free time? Water sliding?
He loves
water
wine.
Slide, yeah, for
water
sure.
Slide.
He's going to hit up the water parks of Europe.
Actually, he's going to go into fashion and design better zippers.
Mm. Yes.
Or Velcro.
Classic.
Own some Velcro factors.
Guys, we also had three teams officially cemented in the relegation zone. Swansea couldn't win 11-0 this weekend to stay up. So it's Swansea down, Stoke down, West Brom down. And this is the first time... it's crazy. Like every English division, I think 1 through 6 or something, all teams that were promoted survived.
Yeah, it's the third time in Premier League history
that were in the Premier League last year were relegated. That's good to know. Swansea also finishing the season with 5 straight L's.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'm looking at your screen right now.
Shout out to them.
One of the best things I've seen on Twitter all week is that GIF of. Wilfred Bonny from I think 2 years ago, where it has "Come on, everybody, score some goals for Swansea." That's what he's singing when he comes back to the club, and someone tweeted that is the highlight of Swansea's 7 years in the Premier League. So rude, so rude.
I'm surprised to see him go.
Can I ask you a question? Because Swansea is not just let's not just make a joke about them and being an insignificant team. They've brought some good things to Premier League. Who is your favorite player or moment about Swansea?
I'm going to meet you. Ooh. I mean, he was so good for about a year, and then I don't know. It was almost like he was the Leicester City of players for a second. I mean, he was great.
Yes.
I mean,
that's true. It's hard between him or Wee Joe.
Thank you, Miles. Miles, you and I again simpatico. It's got to be Joe Allen. It could be John Joe though. Don't sleep on
Jonathan. Don't forget, and Sigurdsson was pretty great.
Swansea, we have to appreciate the fact that they brought Scott Sinclair and Dyer, two of the most exciting players I've watched.
Dude, Nathan Dyer's still on that team.
Yeah,
other than him going on loan and winning a Premier League title with Leicester, he hasn't done anything.
They were great. And they brought us lots of laughs for your ex-manager, you Liverpool boys. So I appreciate them for that.
And maybe Arsenal's next.
Well, I mean, all I can say about Swansea is, I mean, They deserve to get relegated for, I don't know, how many seasons now? I mean, if we
well,
just,
how many managers?
Well, that's what
the
I'm
Bob
saying. If we go back
era,
to
like,
2014, we'll name them in order. Gary Monk, Alan Curtis, Francesco Guidolin, Bob Bradley, Alan Curtis, Paul Clement, Leon Britton, Carlos Carvajal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, three of those guys.
It's really too bad. The amazing villains, thing, though, about Carvajal is he got, I think, 20 points when he came to Swansea, and in the first half of the season, they only got, you know, like 19 overall. So he did better in the second half. It was that horrible, horrible, you know, first half. I think he was getting like, in you know, well above the points total of what he was getting before. So
we can ask the intern to fact check.
We just need fact check there. But I mean, that first half of the season was not good enough. I also think we should reference what we're talking about teams close to the bottom and looking at manager of the year, you know, throwing in people like Roy Hodgson about how
oh,
great
definitely.
Palace was down that stretch and how he turned it around.
Well, yeah, let me ask that now. Best season pound for pound in terms of resources, managerial changes, et cetera. I mean, who do you look at? Obviously, you know, we can consider City, but knowing their resources and with Pep Guardiola in charge, like, you know, who would you say had the best season pound for pound?
In the Premier League this season?
Yeah.
I think that's hard. I think there are a lot of candidates. I'm just going to toss one out off the top of my head.
Everybody gets
that
one.
Is,
everybody gets one. So you better just choose
fine.
Your right one.
Let me
just toss 12 answers.
You can't pick the half.
Let me just toss it out here. I think Newcastle with pretty crap squad and crap management, but with the one and only Rafa, you know, finishing in 10th place, coming up in the Premier League with that squad, I think is very impressive. I mean, what – maybe there is two players that you would want from that squad, and they're like the center back and the goalkeeper.
Okay, Boo. I'm going to tell you why that's a bad pick, because Newcastle is historically known as one of the biggest clubs in Premier League football. So for me, it's Sean Dyche with Burnley being pound for pound the best manager, seventh place in the table.
I mean, they finished above Everton this year. That's,
Basically, you know, this is the prime spot for anyone who aspires to be an elite club eventually in the future. Seventh spot.
I have a hard time picking them. I mean, if you just look at their last, I mean, five games, three losses and two draws in the last five, and I'm sure if you went back even longer than that, it would be even more horrific. They had 40 points
they had
very
five
early
wins in the row
on
in the March era.
At one point, I think it did over the course of the whole season.
Yeah, I would still go with Rafa Benitez. And quite simply, if you look at every team, Miles, again, you and I, simpatico. Every team
just run off together and
you know what, Miles?
Get a room.
Let's go down by the bay.
We could do
maybe
a spinoff.
We'll eat some hay.
We could do a spinoff pod.
We'll do a spinoff pod.
Yeah, we could do a spinoff.
Every team below sixth place has a negative goal differential. And Newcastle has -8. The only teams better than them after that are Burnley and Leicester. And Newcastle actually has a lot less resources at its disposal.
Yeah.
So much instability around the club. Yeah, Shay, you can shake your head all you want, but Mike Ashley is not throwing any money at that club. Rafa's not getting any resources to build a squad. He made Mo Diame into a decent football player again.
Newcastle
did a job.
Is the biggest.
Ayoze Perez is leading the line, not a goal scorer.
Yep.
I mean, they really did amazing things with a lot less.
Plus that thumping at Chelsea on the last day kind of says it all right there.
That's true. I mean, what a win to finish the season at St. James Park, too.
Yeah. Chris, what do you say?
I'm saying Brighton, guys. I mean, that team, you know, I honestly would ask any of our listeners right now to try and name three, four Brighton players right now off the top of their head. The only one I think many people can name off the top of their head is the one who has the least amount of hair in the league other than former Andros Townsend. So I just think from a resource standpoint, the Seagulls, I think we're playing an uphill battle. Huddersfield, too. It was tough for me between the two of them to pick, really, but I mean, the fact that both – I think we all expected Newcastle on this show to stay up, but the fact that Brighton and Huddersfield beat out Mark Hughes on two different teams and, you know, and Swansea and, you know, Alan Pardew and his shit show at West Brom, I think it's super impressive. And it's not like they were the last ones getting in. I mean, they were solidified before the last weekend of the season. So
yeah.
How about worst team pound for pound? worst season? It could be a player. It could be team.
I think it has to be Arsenal. It has to be. Not finishing in the top four, losing Wenger, the injuries they had at the end of the season, right? Koscielny, horrible injury. They lose Sanchez. I mean, there's a lot of hopefulness there with getting Aubameyang and getting
Mkhitaryan's been pretty good.
Mkhitaryan and you know also having Lacazette, but there's a lot of uncertainty there, and especially to not finish in the top four. That really hurts for a club, especially when things are getting so tight and at the top of the table.
The one thing, just on that real quick, they have more losses than Burnley this year. Wow. That to me really stands out. Six 13 draws, losses. 13 L's. Yeah.
I mean, why I said Burnley was the pound-for-pound best team in the league this year.
Fair, but I mean, Southampton had 16 losses this year.
You know what? I'm going to say, I mean, after winning the league in such fashion last year and coming in fifth, with that same squad of players, I think I got to say Chelsea. And on that Chelsea squad, I think notable bad performances come from the likes of Morata, who – you know, just want to point out, I was never really hot on it at the beginning of the season.
Chris and I will eat some crow for that one. We'll eat some crow. We saw him in the Champions League final. He looked legit.
There's clearly something going on with that squad that for each year after they win the title, they have a shit season. You know, there's got to be something that's a deeper problem there. And I just think, you know, off the back of that success, the way they won the league last year to finish fifth with that season and probably going to lose the FA Cup.
Well, we'll see.
Well, for me, it's got to be the Hammers. You know, there was no bubbles in the air this season because they clearly underperformed. Every year we
also
talk
one
about,
of your favorite teams, though, Shay.
Damn, bro.
But do you know the song, though?
I guess we know who
hearts
wrote.
With flowing bubbles.
We now who know.
Flowing bubbles in the air.
We know who wrote the review now, though. Miles wrote the review.
He's the real Kaiser. Yeah.
No, but I'll tell you about every year we talk about the Deloitte Report, right? And West Ham is always up there in the top 10 or top 15 in terms of most money made, right? And if you look at the Premier League table in terms of wages, they're eighth in the Premier League table with most expensive wages.
Wow. And
they have a brand new stadium, and they finished in 13th place, and they easily could have been in 16th place if it wasn't for the last two games of the season. Intern check that. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But regardless, the point is the West Ham underperformed by far this season. And then to bring in Joe Hart, Chicharito, to bring in Zabaleta, whoever else they brought in,
Patrice Evra, don't forget.
Good point. I mean, notable from that at the end of the season, I don't know if you're going to say this, Chris, but Bobby Zamora was their last double digits goal scorer. Arnautovic last weekend hitting double digits.
Also,
crazy.
Did we see that? That's actually a great
2007, I think. 2007, 2008. Mm. Maybe, I think. It's been a very long time. Or no, he was at Fulham then, so it might have been 2010.
It's funny you mentioned the Arnautovic goal because that's going to be my. It's a great segue for my pick of worst pound for pound of the season, and that's Everton. Pickford, literally, Arnautovic just shoots a ball right at his face, and Pickford can't block it with his dome. Like, you telling me you're just gonna let that ball just go right near your neck like that? It's embarrassing. But and people saying that's England's number one. I think it's got to be Everton. You know, you bring in Sam Allardyce, who has been terrible. Jacob, I know you always talk about him, but he is terrible for that club.
Well, he did
and
the
what
job.
He's been
he
doing.
Did the job.
He did the job of what? Preventing them from getting relegated? They have been awful. They've looked
that
awful.
Is true.
Rooney's leaving for DC United.
Yeah.
He's bailing on the project. You know, the fans had huge expectations with all the signings this summer. Sigurdsson, Pickford, many more. As a Liverpool fan, I am very excited to see that Everton's going to be struggling, and I think if they keep Big Sam there, they're going to be in a fairly similar relegation fight as some of the teams, what, 4 or 5 points below them this year? So next year. But also, lastly, I'm actually surprised Shay didn't say that Manchester United had the worst pound-for-pound season based on their wages and based on their transfers and those expectations.
We were on runner-ups for the table. Like Jacob said, if this was any other season, we would have won it. This is more than the season we had the treble title winning.
But it wasn't great.
And
I
then
mean,
we're
you're,
second
you
place
are,
in the Premier
Shay.
League. That's insulting, Chris.
No, it's
in
not.
In fact, you should be ashamed of yourself.
No, Shay, you got to cop to the fact that you're the second.
That's even worse than when he said Africa's never hosted a World Cup before.
Oh, he edited that one out, by the way.
No, he kept it in.
I'll say this, though, Shay. I've said this for the last 6 weeks, and every time I see you in person, and you just have no answer for it. You are the second best team in your city.
But what does that mean? You're the second best team in the league.
It means a lot. And you're so far away.
So Liverpool
first.
Should be lucky they're not in Manchester because they'll be the third worst team in your city. I don't understand.
Here we go.
Well, you know what? We'll see. We'll see who ends up with a trophy at the end of the season.
Well, we're getting around that.
Well, yeah. Well, we might have a trophy too.
Shay, maybe if you don't end up with a trophy, you'll bleach your hair.
Maybe. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear from Cass Anderson, Bro Bible, senior editor, Spurs fan, and more shortly after the break. So stay tuned.
Chicken somebody into headbutting you, like that I could do, but I don't think I could actually swing my head as a weapon.
You couldn't. You're telling me you could not headbutt somebody because your nose would hit them before your forehead.
No, I'm afraid that I would sort of either duck too low.
All right, guys, we're back. This week we've got a special guest on, Cass Anderson, Bro Bible senior editor at Cass PA on Twitter. Cass, you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Thank you for joining us. It's been a while, I think, since we first got in touch. But our boy Eric Italiano got you on board. And so shout out to him. But also thank you for joining us this week. It's a great episode to have you on, honestly.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it anticlimactic because it was the exact opposite of that. But it was, you know, like white knuckle watching, I guess would be the best way to see that. But like it also felt like a foregone conclusion.
I mean, tons of games to talk about, honestly. And I know you're a Spurs fan for our listeners, so they can, you know, the Arsenal fans can sign off immediately and come back on in 15 minutes.
Well, the Spurs fans can also say, you know, can't say we don't talk about Spurs anymore.
That's true.
Sure.
So you're hearing that. But Cass, before we get into the football, there's just one thing that we really got to talk about, and that's fish. We've done a little research and found out that you're a big fan of fish.
I'm also a big fan of fish.
Jacob is too.
So, okay.
So we've got a few fish related questions, and if you are listening to this and you're thinking fish, you're wrong. It's phish. Get on YouTube, start listening, and we'll include Cass your favorite fish song at the end of the segment, which is
that alone is the hardest question that you could pose, but I'll come up with something in the meantime.
Okay.
Very well. Well, I'll just jump right in then. You know, you're a Spurs fan, but I want to open it up outside of Tottenham.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what Premier League player are you most likely going to see at a fish concert? You know, maybe doing a little hippie crack.
God.
I don't know. Maybe they're up on stage. They got glow sticks. Who knows?
I wouldn't even know where to begin with that.
We can open it up to managers too, you know.
I'm having trouble here.
I feel like it's got to be somebody like Joe Allen.
Well, that's what I'm literally just like trying to go through the mental map of my mind of who has hair like down to the middle of their back.
Yeah, just think of the most obnoxious looking athlete.
Yeah.
And then just pick them.
Well, we can rule out a couple people. That's right. It's Tony Pulis, no longer in the Premier League, but he's not showing up.
Rafa Benitez is not showing up.
Rafa
he's studying tactics.
Jonjo Shelvey, wrong crowd. A little too intense for him.
Wrong crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, wasn't there an incident with Raheem Sterling? Didn't he like rip some balloons of nitrous at one point? Because that's something
that was Nathaniel
100% going to see in the fish lot.
No, Nathaniel
Klein.
It was the both of them.
I know Nathaniel Klein footage was circulating around of him at some thing, just, you know, huffing some balloons. But sorry, Nathaniel Klein. I know you're a big listener of the show, but it's just relevant.
Allegedly,
to the topic.
What Chris meant to say is allegedly huffing balloons. It's like a fish concert, you know. We're jamming.
Yeah, we're jam banding here. But actually, while we're at it, coincidentally, at Spursy Yank on Twitter, reached out to us before this episode and asked if Harry Kane were a fish, and I don't know which type of fish we're asking here. If he were a fish, which fish would he be?
Yeah, I saw that, and I actually that one kind of stumped me a little bit. I had to think about it because he's such like a direct threat, like just straight up threat. So it has to be a pelagic fish of some sort, probably a billfish. I was originally thinking wahoo, which is the fastest fish in the ocean, but he's got to be more of, I'm thinking like a black marlin or like a white marlin, a combination of speed and just like always. Yeah.
I mean, do they breathe
like
out
of
their
really
mouth or their nose?
Well, that's a good question. Are they mouth breathing? I was going to go with a swordfish. Because, you know, swordfish don't really have scales. The baby swordfish do.
No, no,
and
they
then they
feathers.
Fuse together. But that's kind of like Harry Kane's hair. It's not there. And then, or it is there now, but it's not going to be there for much longer.
You think so? Yeah. You think he's at risk?
Chris, I mean, you identify with the man. I mean, if you've ever seen this guy over here.
I just Googled deadliest, most ugly fish, and I see a bunch of Harry Kane lookalikes here. So.
Okay.
It's an angler fish.
So we're getting somewhere.
Some scary things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever caught one of those?
Marlin? Yeah. Yeah, I've caught I've caught blue marlin and sailfish. I have not caught a swordfish yet, but I'm working on planning a trip later this summer down in Isla Morada. A lot of times with swordfish, you have to go out in the middle of the night to catch them. They're kind of a nocturnal fish because they stay down so deep. But Isla Morada, Key Largo, is a unique place where you can catch them in the middle of the day.
Damn.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day. Honestly, I think whichever fish claims other people's food and whatever will most likely be the one that Kane identifies with, in my opinion.
He's
a
bottom
fish. Grunt?
Yeah, a grunt.
The grunt fish is notorious for stealing bait.
That was my bait.
Actually, that brings me to one of my most favorite things for this past weekend at the end of the season was the gif of Harry Kane's head on Mo Salah's body getting the golden boot.
Yes.
And then Mo Salah breaking through out of that.
So let's get into a little football, Cass. How did you become a Spurs fan to begin with? I mean, there are a lot of new Spurs fans over the last few years.
Yeah, that would be I probably got more serious as a fan around like 2010, 2011, and it was very similar to how a lot of American fans get into it. Where I just had a British friend. It was really actually like my wife's friend. Married a guy who moved over from England and needed American friends to get drunk with on a Saturday morning and watch games because he didn't know many people.
Yeah.
So I became that designated drinker, and he was a diehard Spurs fan and got me into it.
Classic DD. Now the follow-up to that is, how much do you regret that decision?
I kind of love it. I feel like I was having a conversation about this recently where when I moved to New York after college, I couldn't bring myself to ever root for any New York-based sports teams like Yankees, Giants winning their Super Bowls while I was there, because it just didn't feel right because they were just raking in championships and it was wrong. So I kind of love it being a Spurs fan where I can start every season thinking that second place is best.
It sounds like being a Liverpool fan, honestly.
So
yeah,
a lot of similarities.
It's a little bit freeing where you don't set lofty expectations on yourself.
So that, speaking of expectations, then how do you look at this season? You know, Spurs now three consecutive top three finishes. Is this season a success? And what does next season look like in terms of expectations?
I would say this season, in my mind, was a success. I don't think they finish any better or worse. I had them pegged for third all along. I do think there's going to be a large infusion of cash with the new stadium next season and staying deeper into the Champions League and then more of the Nike sponsorship money coming in. Mm-hmm. So I think that they'll actually have more money to spend than people are giving them credit for. At least that's me starting to be a little hopeful, but
so there was an
probably not going to be the case.
There was an excellent article in The Guardian today saying that Pochettino is on a collision course with Daniel Levy. Mm-hmm. You know, $1 billion is what the stadium cost to build. And apparently they have $400 million in loans to repay, you know, over the course of the next several years. And I'm just wondering if they're not going to follow suit. I mean, Daniel Levy's always been very tight with the money and tried to be very coy. But I wonder if they're not going to try and follow suit like Arsenal and be very shrewd in the transfer market. And in turn, you know, have Pochettino risk Pochettino leaving. If Pochettino leaves, who would you want as manager? And do you think he's the right guy for the club?
I haven't really thought about it much yet because in my mind, I don't see him leaving yet. I think that, at least I'm believing in my mind, that a lot of what he's saying in this collision with the ownership is kind of lip service. Like, he has this dream for where he wants the team to be, and they got there quicker. I think in his mind, they were going to make the run in the Champions League in the new stadium. I think that was going to come later, and now that they're here, he's expecting the financial windfall. But, like, I don't know, like I just said, I think that ultimately, there is going to be more money from all of the new sponsorship rights just surrounding the stadium. They can get paid over £100 million for a sponsorship deal, naming rights you know, a contract 5-6 years right out of the gate.
Cash, you know,
they can make a huge dent in the debt owed.
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, I think they have a lot of good things going for them financially. I think they're a smart club, and I think this is a critical point for Tottenham, and they're moving from. And I've been to White Hart Lane actually, and I really actually enjoyed the experience. It's very much like Fulham and all these other places where it's a big team, but it still feels like a town team. Like people still feel like they're very connected to the club, right? And I think this is you don't want a situation like West Ham where they move to this big atmosphere and then they fall, right? You have Pochettino who's very established.
That's true.
He knows the team. He's going to be there for the team. He's rooted in there, right? So you don't I think the complexity of having a new manager, new stadium, new expectations, that can overwhelm people. I would want Pochettino to stay if I was you. I'd be very excited to see him just continue to build it.
Oh, no. I'm not saying I want Pochettino to leave. I think Pochettino is a very good manager, and I think he's been really good for developing the types of players that they have and within that system. But there are going to be a lot of things that come to bear in a very short period of time. So there's repaying the stadium debt, but there's also the risk of rising contracts, of bringing in new talent, recruitment, and keeping what you have happy. And I don't see how wages don't go up and something gets unsettled. Now, I don't know what's going to give first in that equation, in that triumvirate, but something will.
Well, Cass, with that said, I mean, considering that we've seen all these players with new deals, we know that there's talent on that Spurs team that could play at the top level, at Real, at other areas, you know, maybe not now, but within a couple of years. Other than Kane, who do you see as kind of the next player to leave on that list of Eriksen and Son and Ali and others?
Player to leave or player I don't want to see leave? Because I feel like Eriksen is the unsung hero. I think Eriksen is the bread and butter of our team. He deserves more credit than he ever gets. Like, it's rare that a goal doesn't go through him in some way or another. Yeah. So I feel like that would be one player that I would be pretty devastated to see leave.
He's really, he's great. I mean, we saw him play this year versus Chelsea. That goal, but also just watching him in warm-up, everything is really crisp, really technical. Yeah.
He'll have a great World Cup, too.
Yeah.
Just looking at the Spurs season overall, what would you say is the biggest accomplishment of the season? We're going to put this poll out on Twitter as well to see kind of how our Twitter followers match up with your opinion here. But so I'll give you four options here. Beating Real in the group stage. B, putting the pressure on Juventus. C, finishing above Arsenal. Or D, Dele Alli being confirmed as not a virgin.
It's a tough one.
Guys, it was a green screen, okay?
I feel like it's a tough question to answer because instinctively I want to say finishing above Arsenal, but at the same time, I never expected to not finish above Arsenal. When there's a rivalry there, you always expect to beat them.
Yeah.
So that's tough, but I also hate admitting that our biggest accomplishment of the season was a 3-1 win at home. But in reality, it was. I mean, the entire world was watching, and they made a huge statement against Real Madrid.
Yeah, I agree.
The number one, you know, most recognizable program in the entire world.
They could have beaten the European Championships, you know, come 2 weeks, potentially, 3-1 at home. That's huge. Yeah. We mentioned Dele Alli and his flesh-tone suit. That was a green screen. Did you watch it? Did you look at it? Did you even try and search for it?
You didn't catch a glimpse?
You didn't see anything. You didn't even look on Twitter at the screenshot. Not once.
I did not.
Wow.
That's
this guy's got more gusto than me.
I feel like I've learned my lesson too many times doing that in the blogging world where I just had to know and I would search and then I always wish I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that might be disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, you might be disappointed and then you look at him on the field and it's just never the same.
I do have to say though,
it's always long ball.
If you look at what happened with Leicester City a couple of years ago and what happened with their little threesome mixtape viral video, they won the league the following year. So I mean, if anything, Spurs could be on pace to win the league next year with this exposed game plan.
You know, hashtag SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States today, announcing that sports betting, may be legal in the state near you very soon, depending on your local legislator. So, you know, you heard it here first. This is a harbinger of good things to come.
What exact bet are we making about Dele Alli? Is it about his
team? No, we're not betting on Alli.
Can we make a bet on Alli?
We can.
So, Cass, I mean, what are you putting the odds of Spurs winning the Premier League next year?
Sorry,
with what, that said.
I just would say
now,
Shay,
that, now that we know he's not a virgin, I think second place is our goal next season, as it was this season.
That's good. Incremental progress. Incremental progress, new stadium, more money in. Yeah. I like it. It's good.
If you were a betting man and you had to pick who the World Cup winner would be, we want to know what team that is.
And we've been asking all of our
I mean, we're about a month away now, too.
I know my answer. It's very
clear. It's a month from yesterday.
So I want to know your answer to see if you agree with me and the Super Eagles of Africa.
If I'm at the sportsbook placing a bet, right now, I would wager on either France or Germany. So that's just in my mind's eye who I see.
That's who you think is it. But if you have to pick one, we can't let you off the show with the to pick one.
Germany.
We have Germany. Can we keep this running? Actually, for everyone who comes on the show.
Of course, yeah. We can post that online.
No, but we need to keep it like a log, to like we do for
It's such a safe answer, but there's such a hard team to play against.
Yeah, I got Brazil. Their provisional squad came out today. Who knows what a Germany provisional squad's going to look like? I mean, it's crazy.
One interesting thing before we wrap up is, Kaz, you did just tweet out the odds for the World Cup earlier today that are out. So Germany is leading that list. One surprise, though, on that list, pretty high up, I think eighth, is England, 25-1 odds at opening odds, now current odds 20-1. I find that pretty ridiculous, being on par with Portugal. If you had to name somebody lower down on that list, who should I put $1 on?
Looking at it now, Colombia, possibly. I would put like $10 on Panama, Iceland, just because.
Yeah, I've got a good feeling about Serbia. You know, I don't know. Something tells me they're gonna make it out the group stage. So,
Some people say they're in the group of death. Brazil. Costa Rica.
Last but not least, Cass, we will send you off to some nice fish music. Cass, again, senior editor of Bro Bible at Cass PA on Twitter. Cass, any last words?
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you. Guardiola wasn't in this league, maybe, but Guardiola goes for W's and goes out hard and plays one way and doesn't kind of finicky and try and get in the heads and play the opponents. He plays one way, kind of like Klopp, and that's why the games are so good when they play, and goes out for wins. Mm-hmm. He can draw Man City all he wants and claim those as victory, but they will not win a title or finish ahead of City as long as Guardiola's in the league.
All right, guys, we're back. We got to do our Cross Pond End of Season Awards, you know? I've got some categories here, and we'll put them out on Twitter, too, to see what people think, but... first, I want to know, guys, who was the most improved player from this season?
Chris is going to say Nathan Ake.
Leroy Sané. No, hands down for me. Leroy Sané is the most improved player.
Leroy Sané?
Yep.
I mean, could you make a case and an argument for Mo Salah? I mean...
Yeah, I was thinking that from the last appearance in the Premier League or even in Serie A. I mean, he came in and blew out the league.
But I guess my real answer... I think I'm going to go with Wilfried Zaha. I mean, I think you know, part of the reason they stayed up this season was purely down to his play. And Frank de Boer just could not get him right, but he showed over the course of the season how valuable he is. I mean, you know, he might be one of the more invaluable players to a team out there if you had to sort of rank him. So I would say I'd give it to him.
I'll give a little love to Jesse Lingard. I think he had a great, fantastic season this year, and I think it's only promising for next year.
I've never seen Shay smile so bright. He didn't want Lingard there 2 years ago. Play the tape. I hate to say it, guys, but I actually meant to ask who was most improved in general, not just players. So I'm going to have to say Roy Hodgson, just for what he's done at Crystal Palace. I think a lot of people thought after his England tenure, you know, he wouldn't really have a place in the Premier League. But I think he's proven that even with that Crystal Palace team, and there's some talented players on that team.
There's some talented players. Don't forget.
I would say, honestly, Van Aanholt might be my most improved, but... based on some of his recent performances. But so I'm saying Hodgson.
Dude, Ashley Barnes, too.
Good choice.
Next up, we've got best moment of the season. again, just a reminder, you know, you had the Grand Theft Auto with the taxi in Barcelona. You had Mourinho calling out all Manchester United fans about being used to being eliminated for the Champions League. Yeah. You had the Dele Alli.
For me, it's going to be the Game of Thrones eye gouging that seems to have caught the Premier League by storm. It seems to be a new fad. You got Deeney on Allen.
Yeah.
You got Pogba and Noble. Seems to be a something that's taking off. I like that. It's really the big man, little man clash.
For me, it's Harry Kane claiming other people's goals. To me, that just never gets old.
He tried
and,
so hard.
And the amount of potential, you know, for years to come. What was the worst narrative of all the stuff that's been talked about by media, NBC this year, even us? What is the one thing that you're just tired of hearing about? Not relevant. You know, why are we even out here discussing it week in, week out?
VAR. I mean, it's a good concept that has flaws, and I'm tired of hearing about it being nitinoid and picked apart. It's good. It's going to get better. But it just has to be used consistently in every situation so everyone can have a grasp of it across all leagues. No more selective implementation. That's got to be one of the things that I just can't stand to hear about it being sort of a bad thing, and especially the confusion to fans on the ground. Like, I guess I just don't really see that. But, you know, it's going to get better.
You know what I'm actually happy that we're done with is the Wenger out stuff. Now it's done.
Yeah. You tell him, Miles. You tell him.
It's finished.
But again, as we said, you know, he didn't necessarily retire. He could be, you know.
It's true.
He could be bringing Swansea up next year.
What if he just puts out a wig and they hire, like, we hired a new manager. He changed his first letter, his first name. It's the same guy. Yeah. Wig on.
Warson Anger. I was also pretty tired of the park the bus narrative and that whole stuff.
For me, I don't know if it was a narrative or not. I made it a narrative of how bad trash of a team Southampton is, and I'm very upset they're still in the Premier League. So I wish the narrative there stops forever, and I wish they get relegated next season.
All right. Lastly, guys, ATD Across the Pond, worst player award this year.
Well, I know who Chris is going to give it to you, Andres Thompson.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
You know, I'm going to, Jacob has talked about it before, but I'm inclined to agree with him. Andre Ayew,
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was just talking
has
about
had some injury problems, guys.
Both the Ayew.
Yeah, but come on. He was good when he first came on the scene, bad for West Ham, bad again for Swansea, and now they're relegated. Like, come on, man.
For me, I think
your brother has put some more goals and he's less.
Yeah,
talented.
I think that's insulting for Andre Ayew. I like him. He's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy.
For me, I think it have to be the whole Everton, or not sorry, the whole West Ham team, particularly Joe Hart.
Yeah, I was gonna say Joe Hart had the worst. Joe I think Hart. Worst season for stock.
Yeah. Good point.
I might go Morata. Back
in terms of worst season, we're talking worst season, worst not season. Worst player.
That was
worst
Jacob. Season. Jacob, that was your guy this season.
I know, and I'm but after seeing him in the flesh and really scrutinizing him on the tape since I saw him in the flesh and before when I knew we were going to watch him play live, he's so disappointing. Such a bad season. Have Giroud come in, you know, someone who's exactly
that
like you and do what you do better. I mean, Giroud does not get enough respect. Number one, and number two, to go from Champions League back-to-back winners, possibly three-peating Champions League winners, to not even finishing the top four and maybe not even winning a trophy, that is a fall from grace if I've ever seen one.
I mean, he's not the only star on that team. You can say Hazard had a disappointing season.
I mean, he had 11. So Morata had 11 goals in the Premier League, 6 assists in the Premier League, 13 total goals this year. So Giroud, on the other hand, had 13 goals total for Arsenal, so same amount of goals. All right, guys. Well, we will put those polls out to Twitter this week. Lastly, and I know we touched on it briefly, Rooney to DC. Are we going to see him out on the street? Are we going to invite him to the clubs? What are we going to do here? Invite him over for the pod?
I mean, obviously.
I want to see the picture of you guys with Rooney, and I want to compare Shay's face next to Rooney and Chris's face next to Ake.
I'll tell you
that's
what.
That's the picture.
I'll tell you what.
I want
to
compare.
It'll be tough to beat.
I'd like to compare Chris's hairline to Rooney's.
I mean, Rooney's got it fixed, man. He's got it fixed. He's got the plugs.
He's got those plugs.
All right, guys. Keep us on your radar. Make sure you rate 5 stars, roast us. You can find us on AcrossThePond.co, at ATP Radio, on iTunes, Google Play Music, and more. Stay tuned. We might have some World Cup episodes. We're just trying to figure that out still. But stay tuned. We'll see you next week.
Peace.